Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second reading this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, Greece. And this is the resurrection chapter, chapter 15. It's one of the earliest accounts of Christ's resurrection that we have, written about early 50s AD or CE. And I'm just reading little snatches of it here and there. It's something you might want to look at when you go home. 1 Corinthians 15. And as I read this, you might think, why is the resurrection so important? And where does it stand in your own understanding of the Christian faith? Paul starts out by saying the teaching he's received from the early Palestinian church. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And here's a very challenging statement that he makes a little bit later in this chapter. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. And then a little bit later still, this tremendous triumphant pronouncement. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Easter is a great day of flowers, tremendous hymns, triumphant anthems. And I think we have every reason to celebrate today. Just think of it. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And that means that the bonds of death are shattered, and love has triumphed. We have every reason to celebrate. Now, I saw a cartoon recently where a minister was talking to a parishioner. Big sign outside describing the Easter service. And the parishioner says to the minister, "You're in a rut, Reverend. Every time I come to church, you're preaching about the resurrection." I don't know about you, but I have a sneaky suspicion that person only came maybe once or twice a year. And one of those occasions might have been Easter. But Easter is important, isn't it? There's every reason to celebrate it. It is God's great joyful gift to us all. it's worth celebrating. Now, the resurrection of Christ lies at the very center of the Christian faith for me. How does it seem to you? What place does it have in your own understanding of the faith? How important is it? I'd like to just share with you why I think it's important from my own experience of Christ. I am the resurrection and the life, said Jesus. I think the resurrection of Jesus is important, first of all, because here we have the beginnings of Christianity. Now, if you remember the gospel story, when Jesus is arrested and when he's put to death, the disciples are like frightened birds. They've just gone off in all directions. They're cowering in that upper room of a house in the city of Jerusalem. They're scared. They're scared that their own lives will be next. And something happens. Something happens in their experience to change their outlook, to turn things around from fear to courage, the courage to preach about Jesus and take his message to the ends of the earth. Something has changed. And by their own witness, by their own testimony, they say it was the personal experience of the risen Christ in their own lives. That's what's made the difference. It's important. I think without the resurrection, there is no Christianity, no church, no New Testament. Without the resurrection, Jesus is just an innocent martyr. Truth is still on the scaffold, and there's no change to our human condition. With the resurrection, we are able to look at that Friday, that terrible Friday of crucifixion, and talk about Good Friday. It is the resurrection that affirms the truth of Jesus' ministry. That's key. It's something worth all of us thinking about and wrestling with in our own lives. The beginnings of Christianity, the origin of Christianity, I think goes back here. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. There's a second importance for me, and that is, I think in our own lives, it teaches us that there can be new beginnings, new starts, second chances. I think there was a story, a wonderful story, about a young boy, 10 years old, who was brought up on a ranch in a very remote section of Texas. Never been to a big city before. The wife had never been to a big city before. The husband had never been. And one day they went to the big city and to a hotel. And the little 10-year-old was just amazed at the size of the foyer of the hotel. And then, looking down a hallway, they saw big silver doors. And the little boy said, Mom, what are those doors? And the mom said, darned if I know, son. And they saw this very elderly gentleman, very bent over, very wizened, just an old geezer. He went down to those silver doors, and he pressed a button on the side, and the doors opened up. And this old guy went in. The silver doors closed. And then the little boy noticed above the silver doors, there were numbers that started to light up. 2, 3, 4, 5. And then it stayed on 5 for a little bit. And then it went 4, 3, 2, 1. And the silver doors opened. And this amazingly handsome guy came out. George Clooney, you know, many times over George Clooney. Just a Greek god of a man. And the mother said to her son, go get your father. I'm going to run him through before we get home. Yeah. Well, Easter doesn't promise that all of a sudden we'll become very handsome. But it does say that, you know, there's a chance for new beginnings in life. There's a second chance. And, you know, you can think of, in our own experience, in our own daily lives, sometimes the stone can be rolled away from the tomb, can't it? And we can experience little resurrections. A son who has been caught up in drugs and everything decides to go clean. Someone who's been hurt by another person. And there's a burning kind of resentment there. Suddenly is able to break through and maybe take that first step, just the first step, of forgiveness. The stone rolled away a little bit. New life. A person who has never really thought much about the faith suddenly is struck by the fact that maybe there's something here. Something very real. You know, again, Easter doesn't promise that we'll all of a sudden become George Clooney. But Jesus does want to run us through his elevator. He wants us to line up our lives with his. He's concerned about what's in here. And he wants a change in here. He wants a change in how we lead our lives. And I think we don't fully appreciate just how much who we are here and how we conduct our lives really matters. In life, in daily life, there are all kinds of times when that stone is rolled away from the tomb. And there's new life, the possibility of a new start, a new beginning. The origins of Christianity, going back to that experience of the risen Christ, the possibility of little resurrections in our own lives. There's something else here too, and very basic for me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And I think because he lives, we will live also. Death is not the last word. This world is not all there is. And I think Easter has helped me look at death with great hope. And the example I've come to is one up in the Rockies of Canada. There's a lake there called Miracle Lake. It's a huge lake. Some of our people at the early service said that they had been there. It's a huge lake, miles long, wide, very deep. Beautiful lake in the spring. But in the fall, it completely disappears. There's nothing there but a big hole in the ground. And yet, Miracle Lake doesn't quite disappear. Because underneath that lake, there is a deep subterranean primeval river that flows. And when the Athabasca glacier begins to melt in the spring, that river, you know, just breaks its bonds under the earth and pushes up and creates that lake. And then in the fall, when things go down, when things dry up, the lake disappears. But that subterranean river goes on into the Malin River further on down, and it goes on to the Pacific Ocean. And I think for ourselves, as we face death, there is that subterranean flow of life that continues on. Even though the lake may disappear, that subterranean flow continues on to the completion of life in the presence of God and His love and those who have gone before us. And I think I like that example because when we were out in Ohio, there actually was one of those subterranean primeval streams down in a valley close to us. But there's something there that keeps on going to complete our lives. St. Paul put it beautifully, triumphantly, when he said, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because Christ lives, we shall live also. I think it is Easter, it is the resurrection, that allows me to live life with courage and with hope. "I am the resurrection and the life," said Jesus. Amen.